When these sacred individuals had left the planet Mars, I resolved to carry out this task at all costs and to be worthy, if only by this specific aid to our unique burden-bearing endlessness, of becoming a particle, though an independent one, of everything existing in the great universe. So, my boy, imbued with this resolve, the next day I flew on the same ship occasion to your planet Earth. This time our ship alighted on a sea then called the Colchideus, recently formed by perturbations during the second great disaster to your planet. This sea was situated in the northwestern part of the great newly arisen continent of Ashark, which at that period was the chief center of existence of the three brain beings there. The other shores of this sea belonged to those newly emerged land masses that had become joined to the continent of Ashark, and taken together were at first known as Friant Sanaralis, and a little later as Colchidisi. It must be remarked that both this sea and the lands just mentioned still exist, but of course they now have other names. For example, the continent of Ashark is now called Asia, the Colchideus Sea, the Caspian, and all the Friant Sanaralis together are now known as the Caucasus. The occasion alighted on the Colchideus or Caspian Sea because it was the most convenient place for mooring our ship. Moreover, it offered great advantages for my further travels, since a large river, which watered almost the entire country of Tikliamish, flowed into it from the east. On the banks of this river stood the capital, the city of Purkalai. As the greatest center of existence of these favorites of yours was then the country of Tikliamish, I decided to go there first. Here it might well be added that although this large river, then called the Oxoseria, still exists today, it no longer flows into the Caspian Sea because as a result of a minor planetary tremor, it was diverted to the north about halfway down its course and flowed into one of the hollows on the surface of the continent of Ashark, where it gradually formed a small sea still known as the Aral Sea. By close observation, the old bed of that great river, now called the Amu Darya, can be seen even at the present day. At the time of this second descent of mine in person, the country of Tikliamish had come to be considered, as indeed it was, the richest and most fertile of all the lands suitable for ordinary being existence on that planet. But when a third great catastrophe occurred to that ill-fated planet, this flourishing country, along with other more or less fertile regions, was covered by kashmanunoms, or as they say, by sands. After this third catastrophe, the country of Tikliamish was long known as the Hungry Desert. But nowadays, the different parts have different names, and what was once its principal part is called Karakum, which means black sands. During that period, the second quite independent group of three-brained beings on the continent of Ashark dwelt in the country then called Maralplacy. Later, when this second group established a central place of existence, they called it the City of Gob, and for a long time, the whole country was called Goblandia. This region in its turn was covered by Kashmanunoms, and today the chief part of this once flourishing country is known simply as the Gobi Desert. As for the third entirely independent group, the place of its existence was in the southeastern part of the continent of Ashark, opposite Tikliamish, and on the other side of those abnormal projections of the continent that had been formed during the second catastrophe to this ill-fated planet. As I have already told you, the place of existence of this third group was then called Pearl Land. The name of this region also was changed many times, and at present, the whole of that part of the land surface of your planet is known as Hindustan or India. It must be noted here without fail that at the time of my second descent in person to the surface of your planet, there was present in all the three brain beings of these three independent groups, instead of the impulse called needful striving for self-perfection, which should be in every three-brained being, and also needful but very strange striving, already thoroughly crystallized, to have all the other beings of their planet consider their country the center of culture of the whole Earth. This very strange needful striving had become for each of the three-centered beings of your planet the principal meaning and aim of existence, and in consequence, bitter struggles, both material and psychic, were constantly proceeding among the beings of the three independent groups for the attainment of this aim. So, my boy, from the Golhidius Sea, now the Caspian, we then set off on selchanaks, that is, on rafts of a special kind, up the river Oxosaria, or, as it is now called, the Amu Darya. We sailed for 15 terrestrial days and finally arrived at the capital of the beings of the first Asiatic group. As soon as we were settled in the city of Kurkalai, I began visiting the Kaltani there, that is, those establishments which were later called on the continent of Ashark, Chaikhanas, Ashkhanas, Caravansarais, and so on, and which contemporary beings on that planet, especially those breeding on the continent of Europe, call cafes, restaurants, clubs, dance halls, meeting places, and so on. I began with these establishments because on the planet Earth, in those days just as now, there was no place where one could observe and study so well the specific peculiarities of the psyche of the beings of a country. And this was exactly what I needed in order to make clear to myself their real inner essence attitude toward the custom of sacrificial offerings, and to enable me more readily to draw up a plan of action to achieve the aim for which I had made this second descent to your planet. During my visits to those Kaltani, I met a number of beings, among whom was one I happened to see rather often. This three-brained being whom I frequently met was by profession a priest. His name was Abdil. Since most of my personal activities during this second descent were concerned with the external circumstances in which this priest Abdil had become involved, and since I had to go to a great deal of trouble on his account, I shall tell you about him more or less in detail. Moreover, from these tales you will be able to understand the results I obtained in pursuit of my aim of uprooting from the strange psyche of your favorites their need to destroy the existence of beings of other forms in order to please and appease their gods and revered idols. Although this terrestrial being, who afterward became as dear to me as one of my own kin, was not a priest of the highest rank, he was well versed in the teaching of the religion then dominant in Tikliamish, and also knew well the psyche of the followers of that religion, particularly, of course, of the members of what is called his flock. As soon as we were on friendly terms, I discovered that in the being of the priest Abdil, owing to many external circumstances, among others, his heredity and the conditions in which he had been prepared to become a responsible being, the function called conscience which should be present in every three-centered being, was not yet altogether atrophied. So, when he recognized with his reason certain cosmic truths I explained to him, he at once acquired in his presence almost that attitude towards other beings that is proper to all normal three-brain beings of the whole universe. In other words, he became compassionate and sensitive to the beings around him. Before I tell you more about this priest Abdil, you must know that on the continent of Ashark, the terrible custom of sacrificial offerings was then at its height, and the destruction of various weak, one-brained and two-brained beings was proceeding everywhere in incalculable numbers. At that period, whenever the members of a household appealed to some imaginary god or make-believe saint, they invariably vowed that in return for good fortune, they would destroy, in honor of that god or saint, the existence of some being, or even of several at once. And if by chance good fortune befell them, they would fulfill their vow with the utmost piety, while if it turned out otherwise, they would increase the slaughter in the hope of eventually winning the favor of their imaginary patron. For this purpose, these favorites of yours went so far as to divide the beings of all other forms into clean and unclean. They called unclean those beings the destruction of whose existence was supposedly displeasing to their gods, and clean those beings whose destruction was supposedly most agreeable to the various fantastic idols they revered. These sacrifices were offered not only privately by individual beings in their own houses, but also by large groups and sometimes by the whole populace. They even had special places for slaughterings of this kind, preferably near buildings erected in memory of something or somebody, usually of some saint, a saint, of course, whom they themselves had elevated to sainthood. There were several of these public places at that time in the country of Tikliamish, where the mass destruction of beings of different exterior forms was carried out. And the most celebrated of these was on top of a small mountain, where once upon a time a certain wonder worker, Aliman, was supposed to have been taken up alive to some heaven or other. In this place, as in others like it, especially at set times of the year, they destroyed vast numbers of beings called oxen, sheep, doves, and so on, and sometimes even beings like themselves. In the last case, the strong usually brought the less strong to be sacrificed. A father, for instance, brought his son, a husband, his wife, an elder brother, his younger brother, and so on. But for the most part, the victims were slaves, who were usually what are called captives. In other words, beings of a conquered community which had lost its importance through the action of the law of Soliunensis. That is, in a period when the tendency to reciprocal destruction was intensified in the presences of your favorites. This custom of pleasing their gods by destroying the existence of other beings is still followed on your planet, though not on the same scale as when these abominations were perpetrated on the continent of Ashark.